Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome into the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on 104.1 FM, KMOX, your home for the Cardinals. You're home for a bunch of other things as well, and we're going to be talking more about that as Cardinals season is coming to a close, about a week and a half left in the year. We'll still have lots of games for you here on KMOX, whether it's football games from Westwood One, whether it's the Billikens. We got a few other things that we got coming your way as well. But, of course, we'll have more Sports Open Lines once baseball season comes to an end. As well. So for those of you who have maybe just sort of found us now that we've been on the FM dial here for the last few months and you're just used to listening to baseball at night, hopefully you'll continue to make us part of your evening plans. And speaking of evening plans, hopefully tomorrow night you literally make us part of your evening plans by finding your way to Hot Shots in Arnold, as that's where we are going to be for another one of our soccer showcase events. Team of Baumgartel from City SC, he's going to be there. Jen Cease and I will be on from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock doing nothing but soccer. And during that hour, Timo's going to be with us probably for about the first half hour of it or so. And then once we wrap up with Timo, he will head over to another table where he'll sign autographs and take photos and do all that sort of stuff. So if you want to meet him, that's awesome. For parents out there, just especially soccer practice, there's going to be a lot of soccer practices going on. You don't want to do dinner tomorrow night. You want your kids to be entertained by something else. Well, head on over to Hot Shots. Bring the family, bring the kids, especially if you're in the South County area. We're going to be in Arnold tomorrow. Get yourself some food, some drink from Hot Shots. Meet Timo, get an autograph, get a picture, and your night's taken care of. That is my gift to you. You do not have to make dinner tomorrow night. You can go to Hot Shots in Arnold and come say hello to me. I'll start the broadcast at 5 o'clock for Redbird Rush Hour, and then we'll start the soccer portion at 6 o'clock, and we'll continue to remind you about that going on tomorrow throughout the evening. We got a lot on the show today. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Later on this hour, we are going to talk with a former MLS player, current analyst on MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, Kalen Carr. We'll talk some City SC with him. At the start of the 7 o'clock hour, Howard Richards is going to join us, Mizzou football radio analyst. Tigers looking good right now. Later on in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have our weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan, Kansas City, with Patrick Mahomes. And also we'll hear from Doug Armstrong as the Blues are opening up training camp coming up tomorrow. Some interesting things said by the Blues president of hockey operations today. So Armstrong will play some of what he had to say to the media. That's going to be coming up later on this hour. As always, if you want to chime in on what we are talking about. Multiple ways to get connected with the program. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will address that as we go along through the show today. Cardinals lose today. It's kind of a blah game. They lose 6-2. Alec Burleson hits the home run in the first inning, which was good. Gave them a 1-0 lead. They took their early lead yesterday. They were able to keep it yesterday, but they didn't get the same pitching yesterday that they did yesterday, because Andre Pallante again allows one inning to really beat them, and mistakes. I've been frustrated. When it comes to the Cardinals and not playing great baseball, sometimes there are things that frustrate me, and sometimes there are things that I'm more accepting of. And I'm a little bit more frustrated right now because I think the mistakes are starting to pile up. And mistakes are not always fielding errors. Mistakes are issuing walks. Mistakes are plays in the field that should have been made, that are not made. Maybe they don't go for errors. Mistakes that are made sometimes don't have any impact whatsoever when you've got somebody who's not backing up on a play, or an outfielder who's just kind of a passenger. Some other stuff is going on. When you have bad base running, things like that. I think the Cardinals, for the most part this season, and I give them credit, I think they've played a pretty clean season. I think they've been very good defensively. I think they've been a pretty solid fundamental ball club, especially across baseball. Fundamentals have fallen back. That's kind of the state of the game. So I guess I'm grading on a little bit of a curve here, and I know there's some people who hold them to a much higher standard, and that's totally fine. I think it's been a fine season in terms of that. But over the last couple weeks, there's been some instances where some very preventable things have come back to bite the team. And you know, there's been a time or two where Ollie has said in postgame essentially that the team didn't deserve to win a game. There was there was that game against one of the Milwaukee games, I think it was, where the first six batters of the inning, every single at bat, there was either a walk or a mistake that was made, whether it was an error or something else. And like that's the stuff that just, you get frustrated when that happens. That's not what it's supposed to be. So I get it. There bunch of, you know, Wilson Contreras goes on the injured list today. He's done for the year. You made the moves at the trade deadline. There's some other pieces that you don't have. Like you're playing out the string. But at the same time, the one thing I would really like to see is for it to continue to be clean baseball. I thought it was interesting today during the post-game conversation from Oliver Marmol, where he talked about hitters' approach, and he was speaking specifically against Brady Singer. And Ollie had a hard time answering the question because it was a kind of a generalized question about the team, but when you're talking about a bunch of different individual batters, you can't generalize, because if you're talking about the approach, well, if you're really happy with the approach one guy's taken and you're pretty happy with how another, a couple other guys, and you think it could be a little bit better with a couple guys, and there's three or four guys that are really leaving something to be desired, you can't have an all-encompassing answer. So I appreciate, one of the things I appreciate about Ollie is he listens to questions and he answers them, and when he can't answer them, there's a reason why, and the reason why today was the generalization of everything being the same across the board. That being said, it was pretty clear listening to him today that from an approach standpoint, there are some guys that are not doing what they would like them to do. And that should not be shocking news to you, by the way, because when Brant Brown was on Gas House Gang, and Brant Brown also had a conversation with Klaibs recently during the pregame show, like it's pretty clear that there is some frustration with how some of the hitters are approaching their at-bats. And I would contend that if you are somebody who's starting to fall off at the end of a season, even when you're not playing for much, that's something that's going to be noticed. I don't know what the consequences are. I don't know if that, you know, when all of it, we know there's going to be a lot of players that have to be moved off this roster this offseason to make the roster work for next season. That all plays a role kind of in what's going on. I want to talk with Bernie Miklas about that, about what he has seen as the level of play, I think, has dropped off a little bit here over the last couple weeks. Some of that, again, is just natural human reaction to the team not being really competitive. But at the same time, you want to see those good efforts. Bernie Miklas will join me coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got a full two-hour program tonight taking you until 8 o'clock. Very happy to welcome on our good friend Bernie Miklas. You hear him on Redbird Rush Hour, on Gas House Gang. He's all over STL Sports Central with both video and written content. He's part of the Cards Territory podcast as well with Katie Wu, and he joins us right now for our Wednesday conversation. Hey, Bernie.
Matt, good to be with you as always, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking some time. You had an interesting video today, and your point was that Heim Bloom is in actually a better position beginning the job because of some of the things that John Mozeliak has done. And you look at where this roster is, where it is, more talent came in when they traded away some expiring contracts. They didn't give any contracts to like arbitration eligible guys like Brendan Donovan. They've kept the 40-man roster as clean as possible, not bringing up J.J. Weatherholt, not bringing up Mason Wynn. It does seem like Bloom's going to have the opportunity to make as much impact as possible. We don't know what that's going to be very early on in the tenure.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, really interesting when I was, you know, reviewing all the prospect ratings and seeing, for example, how Fangraphs had the Cardinals rated their farm system 15th before the season. And then all the way up to number six, the updated rankings after the trade deadline, 15 to six. And ESPN, Kylie McDaniel, you know, they had the Cardinals at 19th preseason, their farm system, all the way up to 9th in their update in August. And a lot of praise for the developing talent, not just the premium guys we all know about, but Keith Law told me, for example, that the Cardinals have a lot of under-the-radar prospects that are really good. And people are sort of underestimating what they have exactly. And I thought, you know, when you look at it this way, and then you look at the fact that, yeah, I'm not saying that the talent on the major league roster is good enough, because it's not, but there are younger players on that roster who like Burleson, for example, has had a really good season. He's not the only one. Yvonne Herrera, for example, one of the better younger hitters in Major League Baseball, and others. Mason Wynn, they have good young players that they probably want to keep. And that would include a couple of starting pitchers, Libitor and McGreevy. But on top of that, they have other younger players that they can trade to collect future assets for their rebuild. So my point is, listen, we've all pointed to many things that John Mozeliak has done wrong, and it's a reason why this thing flattened out and went south. But it would be dishonest not to acknowledge that, you know, and the way I see it, you know, the Cardinals are actually better positioned going into this rebuild and going into this transition to Heim Bloom. They're better positioned with young talent than I have seen them in quite a while. And listen, John Mozeliak, if he was in charge of all the mistakes and this and that, he's also in charge of raising the level of young talent within the organization. And when you're going into a rebuild, that's a really vital factor. So, Matt, I think you and I are alike, and I think Kevin Wheeler is with us on that, and Tom Ackerman and Chris Ranji. I see no reason to be petty about John Mozeliak. In other words, I'm not saying this stuff because this is his final homestand and all that stuff. Not at all. We've all pointed out the mistakes a million times. What is the point of rehashing all that again? But what's different is that no one seems to realize that they've expanded their young talent pool in a way that is going to help Heim Bloom do his job. And I think it's the classy thing and the honest thing to do is to make that point. And I know that I always like to joke. If you praise John Mozeliak in St. Louis, I believe it's now officially a felony crime. I get that. But, you know, I just don't believe in being absolutely petty about stuff. Yeah, we know about the screw up, so mm-hmm. we don't need to keep talking. See, my focus now is all about the future. I don't really care now what happened in the past, because that part's over, and the guy who was responsible for it is leaving.
That kind of leads into this, because in the grand scheme of things, what I'm about to ask you about really doesn't matter, because nothing that happens from now to the end of the season in the last couple right. weeks matters. But we have watched a team that's been pretty good defensively this year. A lot of that's been based off two individual players, but they've been a fine sure. defensive team. They've been a fine fundamental team. They haven't been a terrible base running team. A lot of these things, Bernie, in the final few weeks of the year, I mean, there's been some bad innings. Whether it's walks or whether it's errors or mistakes that don't show up as errors or base running mistakes or fielders not backing up on plays. Like, we have seen this team not do the small things for a month or so, and maybe that's just a byproduct of not being a competitive team, but I have been a little bit disappointed by that.
Yeah, I think they've gotten a little sloppy, and I don't know whether it's human nature. I don't know, and I don't like to make too much excuses about injuries, but they've gotten walloped by injuries in the second half. Although I got to point out, for the entire season, according to Baseball Prospectus, that has a great injury tracker, the Cardinals have been the least impacted team in the majors by injuries, and that includes the recent stuff. So, but they have gotten sloppy, and I know they're moving people around and they're plugging in, and you're seeing guys play a lot that haven't been playing a lot. You know, when Gorman took over at third base, he was really bad at first. He got better, and then has kind of relapsed again defensively. So, but I agree with your premise 100%, and I just think there's a lot of factors, and you know, and again, After they went to 9 games over 500 by sweeping Cleveland, 9 games over 500, their season best. I mean, they are 27-41 since then. It's only the Rockies have been worse than the National League. You know, and the bottom line is, when you don't have much of a starting rotation and your offense has been really bad overall, you're just not a very good team. But having the team also get sloppy just adds to the frustration.
So Michael McGreevy yesterday was really good. Gave up just 3 hits in 7 innings, 6 strikeouts. The last time he pitched up against Cincinnati, he was also good, just not as good. 1 run, 5 hits, 6 innings, no strikeouts. Oliver Marmol talked last night about how McGreevy is so receptive to advice and how to tweak things. And yeah, he could have said, man, I was really good against Cincinnati the last time. Let's just do the same thing. But instead, they tweaked it. And he talked about, you know, meeting Rob Serfolio after Major League Spring Training and how they gave him some advice on stuff. And they were almost surprised how willing he was to listen to what these people were saying and implement it to see maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But if it does work, this could take you to another level. I feel like, no, this is a really long question, Bernie. I'm sorry.
No, not at all, man.
As we watch, and I know pitching and hitting is different, but as we have watched a hitting coach openly speak about the fact that maybe the team has hitters that do not listen as much and don't make those tweaks, isn't there something that everybody can learn from Michael McGreevy?
You know, isn't that the truth? You speak the truth as always. No, absolutely. And I think that sometimes, I know I've heard from fans, and they're not being jerks or anything, you know, but there's some skepticism about McGreevy because he will have those bad starts, and you know, there's some clunkers mixed in there, and we know that he's not overpowering per se. And I think they wonder, you know, are the media overrating him a little bit? I don't think we are, because we're all well aware of what his limitations are. But, you know, if you look at his record, and I'm not going to say it's happened every time, but just a lot, most of the time when he has a bad start, his next start is like excellent, mm-hmm. because he realizes how he screwed up. He realizes what went wrong. He realizes what mistakes he made. He realizes what he needs to correct and clean up before his next time out. And he gets that done the dominant amount of times. And there's a fierceness of competitiveness about him. And there is a incredible desire within him to learn and adapt and to get better. And he's just relentless. He will not stop. And you look, I saw a guy pitch like that for the Cardinals who helped pitch them to the World Series in 2006. And I'm talking about Jeff Suppan. You know, there's still room in this game for guys who know how to pitch. and know how to correct their mistakes, realizing they can't overpower hitters. Supon was like that. Supon was just a guy when the Cardinals got him. They put him together with Dave Duncan, and without Jeff Supon, they don't win the World Series in 2006. And all you got to do is look, flashback to Game 7 of the 2006 World Series at Shea Stadium, and the Mets had him in trouble time and time again, and he pitched his way out of it, and the Cardinals won it in extra innings. The season was basically over if he cracked at all, and he didn't. So McGreevy's got some of those same qualities, and that's a pretty high compliment, because even back then, there was no one around baseball said, oh, man, Jeff Supon's got killer stuff. No, they said he knows how to make pitches, and he's really smart.
Yeah, I've been so encouraged by McGreevy and the maturation and just the evolution and everything that he does. It's been right. Fun to watch. It's been a while since we've been able to talk about City SC coming off a victory that happened this past weekend as they traveled to Montreal and came away with a 2-0 win. They're going to get back at it on Saturday on the road as they match up against San Jose. To preview that and talk all things City SC, we're very happy to welcome onto the program former MLS player, now a analyst with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Kalen Carr. You follow him on Twitter at Kalen, C-A-L-E-N, Carr, C-A-R-R. He joins us right now. Kalen, thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Awesome to be with you guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us today. What did you see? City has really been struggling recently. A lot of close losses. There was a tie in there that should have been a win. They finally were able to not just get a win, but a clean sheet all at the same time, something this team, this organization had really been looking for.
Yeah, no, you could almost feel a collective sigh of relief and some confidence in the team, too, because if you look at the quality of play and especially the goals, there was some really nice interchanging of positions and understanding. And so it didn't look like a team that is 14th place in the Western Conference right now. And I know Montreal are not in the best spot either. I cover them pretty frequently. I live here in New York and make the quick flight up to Montreal, but not an easy place to play. Not a simple place to get results, even when you consider the travel and the conditions and all that. And I just thought that the way that they came out in this one looked really, really strong. And the little clever behind the leg pass from João Klaus as well was kind of icing on the cake.
They're not really playing for anything for this season, but it is a very short off season in soccer, probably more so than any other sport. It feels like one season really rolls into the next. If they're able to take some momentum out of that Montreal matchup and have some success in the final four matches of the regular season, how can that impact the off season going into next year?
Well, it's a good question because it's hearkening back and making me think of the end of last year where they finished the season so well. And same thing. You were like, okay, well, hey, they've got this confidence. They have the new signings. They brought in Hartle. They brought in a number of different pieces that came into the side that where you're like, okay, this is a real team going forward. And they looked like they were on pace to, if they had a little bit more time, to make the playoffs. And it kind of fell apart. And I think obviously the hiring of the manager that came in just didn't really work out, didn't fit a system, kind of went more defensive when they had the pieces to play a little bit more expansive. And there's just been too many changes, I think. And that's where you see a little bit of a loss of identity. So I'm really interested to see, for me, is Critchley going to be the guy to get the job? Is who's going to be able to stay there? And I just think towards the end of the season, even if you're not playing for the playoffs necessarily, or that seems like a tall task at this point, you're playing for your job. I've been there where you're not going to make the playoffs. And look, I wanted my option to get picked up. I wanted to be a part of the club to prove that I could be a part of things, or to at least put myself in the shop window so I could get to another place. But more than anything, I think that this is the type of year where you have to play for some pride. You play for the badge. And look, I think St. Louis City has a ton of potential. We've already seen it come to fruition. It's just, I think the thought was that it was going to be a more linear progression to go straight up. And then it's kind of been much more, down. And then, even when it's gone up, it's been halted. So looking for a little bit more solid footing.
It's interesting you say that. When you're a player playing for a team that's not going to the playoffs and you do want something good for you personally, like an option being picked up or just an opportunity the next season, how do you go about still being able to play as part of a team game when it's more about what you want personally, if that makes any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, well, I think pro sports in general is always that kind of tricky balance of you know, you're looking out for yourself and you want the next contract, you want to play as a striker over the next guy, but you also want him to score goals. You want the team to win. And I always felt, you know, for me personally, making the players around me look good, especially some of the star players, was a way that I found success and maintained my place into some successful teams in Houston and Chicago. So, but yeah, I think it is a tricky balance, and where you can go off track is when you focus too much on yourself. And I think teams see that, clubs see that, guys who are a little bit more individualistic, not sacrificing for the team. And when I think of the best versions of St. Louis City, it was all about the belief in the philosophy and fighting for, you know, the next man. And look, they have quality throughout the team. You go through the lines and you can see a ton of experience and a ton of talent, but it's really been more of that continuity and that culture that seemed like it was being built and then and kind of fell apart at the seams.
I know the last thing a team wants to do is make a decision with long-term implications because of short-term impact. Talking about taking momentum from the end of this year and turning into next season. But it's a team that needs a new sporting director, so you don't know what the soccer philosophy is going to be with a new sporting director. And it's a team that needs to make a decision on a head coach, whether they keep Critchley, whether they look at somebody else. If they do have a strong finish to the season, can that momentum be kind of wiped out if all of a sudden they bring in people that want to do things very differently than what they're doing right now?
It can. Yeah, I think we saw that last season. Yeah. I think last year was a perfect example with Olaf Melberg coming into the team and having the momentum and you know, them playing really good football and entertaining style of play and having that momentum. I think a couple Leagues Cup games in St. Louis. I saw, you know, just being around the city, how excited everybody was, and you know, the soccer history, the soccer culture there is you know, second to none. So I know it's going to be an attractive job to be a part of that front office. That's a big decision to make. You mentioned with Lutz Fahnenstiel being let go, and he was there from the beginning. So I could see a lot of people being very interested in that position, as well as the managerial one. But I think sometimes I think there's a little bit of a danger of looking too far and saying, well, maybe what's behind, you know, the grass is greener over there. Because when I've looked at a lot of the managers that have been in St. Louis, I think there's been some really good ones. I thought Bradley Carnell did a great job. You can see the success he's having in Philadelphia. I'm blanking on Hackworth, I've known forever, yeah. And is such a respected manager. He was in Philadelphia when I played against them, yeah. And part of the U.S. youth national team system. I thought he did a fantastic job, too. So now I think Critchley's shown some ability. So sometimes giving these guys a chance, I think, would be wise. But then again, it's not my club, of course. I'm just coming in to analyze things and give my opinion. But it's a little bit of a trend that I see in MLS of, like, you know, kind of looking around. But there's been really good moments. It's just about kind of having that continuity.
Looking ahead to this matchup with San Jose, this is a really important match. San Jose is still jockeying for position. There's a bunch of teams that are right around them, with Colorado and Salt Lake, FC Dallas. So it feels like it's an opportunity for City SC to knock down another team. But at the same time, pretty large implications with a month or so left of the season for San Jose.
Oh yeah, huge. Not ninth place right now, and if you know anything about Bruce Arena teams, anything under than the playoffs is a rarity. So, you know, I think they're going to be desperate to win. Plus, they have some really tough Western Conference games away in San Diego and Vancouver, still waiting one home game after on decision day. So, I think there's a lot of pressure on San Jose to beat St. Louis and to take all 3 points in this. But I know, you know, just coming MLS, what you think might happen is almost never going to happen. I did a 5-4 match where Columbus was winning 5-0 last year, and almost stormed back. They scored four goals and had really nothing to play for at this point of the season. And but I think that that is a dangerous sign, a dangerous team, as a team that's fighting for a lot more. And that's kind of what we were talking about before. Either those individual, personal, professional, that part is important. So I think St. Louis City can continue to do that again this weekend.
Kalen Carr played eight seasons in MLS. Now he is a part of the broadcast team with MLS Season Pass. Kalen, can you give a little bit of a plug for the MLS Season Pass package, especially a little bit more than a month out from the playoffs for soccer fans? Great chance to get locked in right now, watch the end of the regular season, and then watch the great playoff action.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best time of the year. And I know St. Louis fans are maybe not, you know, as dialed in right now as maybe they would want to be as far as the team being able to make a deep run at things. But as far as the intrigue, I was watching last night Messi go for some revenge against Seattle, who beat them in the League's Cup final. I'm really intrigued to see if they can go all the way. There's a ton of pressure on that Miami team. They've almost made themselves the villain in a few ways with some of the behavior and antics. But that's what we love about sports. You got LAFC, a ton of really good teams, a ton of good talent, young talent in the league too. And I don't have to tell anybody in St. Louis about the soccer cultural side, but that part is huge as well on MLS. And it's fun to follow every week. But yeah, playoffs, definitely sign up and follow along.
We very much appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you again down the line. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Kalen Carr joining us here on the program. We'll take a break, and we've got more coming up in just a moment as we roll on. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on here on KMOX. Glad to have you with us. My name is Matt Pauley, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. A little bit after 7 o'clock news, we're going to be joined by Howard Richards, Mizzou football radio analyst. He is going to join us to talk all things Missouri football. Also next hour, we'll hear a little bit from Patrick Mahomes, the weekly conversation courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And we'll hear from Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. Blues training camp is opening up tomorrow. They just got done with the prospect camp, which was really cool. And I think it was a productive camp, and it's great that they go play against Minnesota and Chicago, that little tournament that they do, which is great. And now they get set for a season that, before you know it, it's going to be here. The first preseason game for the Blues is on Saturday, this Saturday, not next Saturday, this Saturday. They're going to play a game in Dallas on Saturday. They open up training camp, and then boom, just like that, they open up the preseason. Their first regular season game is on October 9th. We're 3 weeks out from the start of Blues hockey season. So if it has not, if you haven't realized that, it has certainly come quick. Wanted to address a comment that we got via the video stream. Not Good Baseball 2321 says, right after the trade deadline, I knew that John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol didn't even try to win. And I would push back on that. And I, especially when it comes to Marmol, not that Mozeliak was selling at the deadline. When you're selling at the deadline, you're depleting the roster. So the dictionary definition of that is your roster is not going to be good. So I would say that would be taken out of context with Mo, but I'm not even addressing that part of it. If you want to go with that kind of as your belief, we're not going to argue about that right now. What I would argue with is the Marmol not trying to win. There's a lot of things that can be said about Oliver Marmol. People who don't like him, I disagree with most of the stuff that's said, but there are some criticisms of Oliver Marmol that I disagree with, but I understand where the criticism is coming from. I think that's a really important thing. My life lesson for everybody is we need to understand more, even if we disagree with people, how they're getting to their point. And so there are criticisms of Oliver Marmol that I disagree with, but that I understand where they're coming from. If you don't think Oliver Marmol is trying to win every single game, if you don't think this dude is competitive as all, you know what, I don't have a lot to tell you, because it's not true. Man burns hot. Like there's a reason he gets thrown out of as many games as he gets thrown out of. He is somebody who wants to win. I sometimes feel bad for him because I think he's been put in a situation where it would be very hard for him to win the number of games that is acceptable in this city, right? And so I push back on that. I push back on that very hard. Marmol is trying to win every single game that they play. Some games are unwinnable. This team has a roster that is not as good as most rosters around. Look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, from a roster standpoint, a lot better than the Cardinals. And they're kind of right next. They're going to end up basically in the same place. We are going to talk with Howard Richards, Missouri football radio analyst, after the 7 o'clock news, which is next here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it as we get into hour number two of the program. Missouri football, they're looking good so far, sitting with a 3-0 record. They've got a big one coming up this weekend as they are going to match up against South Carolina. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the radio analyst on the Missouri football broadcast. One of our favorite people to be able to talk Tigers football with, he is Howard Richards. Follow him on Twitter at @How_Rich. Howard, thanks for taking the time with us today. How are you?
Good evening, Matt. I'm doing well. And do we still call it Twitter?
I do.
Because it
Am
just sounds
to?
Better than it. No, it just sounds better than X. I mean, X is just it's just insane.
As long as people know what I'm supposed to be saying, it works, I guess.
I think everyone knows it's Twitter, and why the name changed, I have no idea.
Yeah, I never got that either. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. With the day that Missouri and Kansas matched up against each other, it was one of those days where I had to be out of the house for most of the day, and I was driving around, and I was listening to your guys' broadcast, and I had so much fun listening to it. I just had to wonder for a game like that, that A, was so huge, B, ended up being a win, the back-and-forth nature of it, especially late in the game, how much fun were you guys having in the booth as that game went along?
If you look at the video from the game, so we stream live from the broadcast booth. There's a video out there someplace. You'll see an example of how much fun we have. I mean, we're jumping around and high fiving and everything, but it was like that today. I think the anticipation of playing against Kansas after an absence of 15 years, 19 years since Kansas had played at Fro. And then for me, having played against KU four consecutive years, and then just understanding the meaning of what that rivalry game means to both institutions was just tremendous. And the energy was as good, if not better, than any home game that I can recall in the past 15 years that I've been doing the games. It was great.
Could have this season started any better? The two games against teams that they're supposed to win, and they win them in very one-sided form, and then your non-conference game against a really legitimate opponent, you get a challenge, you have to come back in it, you make plays late. It just seems like there's a lot of boxes that have been checked off going into conference play.
You know, I think I agree with you 100%, especially with a game like Kansas. It's good to have a test like that early in the season to see how your players respond. Yeah, it wasn't perfect. There are lots of things that came out of the game, areas that needed to be worked on, you know, for in order to be better and to continue to show improvement week after week after week. But I think they showed that against Louisiana. Let's hope that the things that needed to be corrected from that game and the previous two games get corrected before South Carolina shows up on Saturday.
The big question right now, and it's on the other side, is that South Carolina, their quarterback, Lenore Sellers, unknown for sure if he's going to play. It sounds like what's being reported today that he's likely to play. I know Coach Drinkwitz has said that they're preparing for him to play, but what kind of challenge does it create for a team where you don't know for 100% sure what quarterback you're going to be facing?
You know, it's unique. It's so much as if there's a quarterback that you've not seen, you don't necessarily know how to prepare. In the case of South Carolina, you prepare as though Sellers is going to play. He did practice yesterday, I heard, and I think it's trending in the direction that he will play. How effective he will be, no one knows. And sometimes guys that get knocked out of a game, they come back and they play like gangbusters. The backup quarterback, his name escapes me at the moment, but I think we've seen him before. Drink has certainly seen him before. And he's more than capable, can move the football, can run it. So regardless of who's taking snaps, and I will take a page out of Drink's book, it's less about what the opponent does and more about what Missouri does well and how it executes, you know, from start to finish. And when that team has been able to execute in all three phases, they're consistently and not allow big plays on defense, avoid turnovers, you know, disallow big plays in the kicking game. When Missouri does that, they win more times than not. You know, I don't know if this team is destined to for greatness this season, but if you look at the first, let's say 25 minutes of the game against Louisiana, they looked to be unstoppable. And listen, Louisiana is no slouch. The team won 10 games last year. They lost some players from that roster, but they were very well coached. They did some things that Missouri didn't expect, that Missouri will certainly face in subsequent games. You know, when Missouri showed an empty backfield, they blitzed. Missouri had problems controlling that blitz and picking it up. So there are things that I think from a coaching standpoint, you want to see how your players handle them. And you saw that it was a problem last week. How do you correct those things in practice going forward? Because, you know, certainly South Carolina will attempt to do the same things that gave Missouri trouble so far.
We saw just such a special game from Ahmad Hardy. He's been named the Doak Walker Player of the Week. I mean, 250 yards, three touchdowns. It doesn't matter who you're playing against, Howard. That's a day that you remember forever. How much fun was it watching a young man seemingly do whatever he wanted to do on the field?
He's so impressive. He's an impressive young man when you listen to him. He's such an energetic and happy-go-lucky guy, you know, happy to be where he is. Talks about how fast the game is and how fast he has to adjust to league play. The basics are the same for him because, you know, all he does is try to make guys miss when he gets to the next level. And I think I heard a stat, maybe 150, 160 yards after contact on Saturday. And we know that he rushed for well over 100 yards or 1,000 yards after contact last season. So seemingly he's picked up where he's left off. I think Missouri's played three this year. going back to his last two games at Louisiana, he's rushed for 500 yards, for over 100 yards in five consecutive games. So he's on a momentum streak himself. And listen, I know the challenge is going to be there for him. League play, everyone steps up their game, you know, several other notches. And I expect the same, you know, for this game this weekend, especially being the first game in conference play. And just read a tweet, Matt, from Mizzou beat writer Eli Hoff. It says, unsurprisingly, when South Carolina quarterback Lenore Sellers is listed as questionable on the Gamecocks' first injury report of the week. Mizzou has a clean report aside from season-long injuries to Blake Craig and quarterback Sam Horn. There's a longer-term absence for offensive lineman Logan Reichert. I think there's another injury report that comes out on Wednesdays that will maybe be a little more clear with regard to the status of Lenore Sellers, but I expect him to be, you know, either be questionable again tomorrow or at least probable going into Saturday's game.
We're talking with Howard Richards, part of the broadcast team, the analyst on the Missouri Tigers Football Network. Bo Pribula has been pretty good. I mean, he's completed better than three quarters of his passes, seven touchdowns. Is this kind of what you were expecting from him, or is this even more than what you were expecting?
Well, I'd say it's what we hoped for.
Yeah.
More than anything. The expectation is that a guy is certainly, whoever's going to play quarterback for Drink is a guy that's going to have a great grasp of the offense and one that's able to throw it with accuracy, make good decisions, and not make a lot of mistakes throwing the football. The ball's got to come out in a hurry. We've seen all those things, minus, you know, his fumble where Kansas picked it up on a scoop and score. It's really the only glaring mistake that he made. So protecting the football, he'll tell you it's something that he has to improve upon. But also just continuing to keep his eyes downfield when he does try to scramble and try to find that open receiver. Maybe save your body a little bit, Bo. You know, we can use you down the road. We don't need you. We don't need any more quarterback injuries for this season.
He is a Howard Richards. Howard, I was just talking to Klaibs earlier today. He said that your weekly show, you guys are taping tomorrow. That's available over at STL Sports Central. And, of course, people hear you on the Tigers radio broadcast. Really appreciate you taking some time with us this evening and look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Anytime, Matt. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. That's Howard Richards. One of the best. Love being able to talk with him and appreciate how gracious he is always with his time and willing to talk about Mizzou football as they get ready for a big one. Big one. The only thing that worries me about this weekend beyond just like South Carolina is a good team. That worries me. The intrinsic stuff that can concern me. South Carolina lost a game they should have won this past weekend. Anytime a team plays the week after a game that they lost that they should have won, you know that they're going to be that much more locked in. So, like, when I saw that they lost at home to Vanderbilt by a lot, I went, that's not great for Missouri. Doesn't mean that Missouri won't win. The fact that it's in this Columbia is good for Missouri, and Missouri is just a good team, but I really did not love the fact that Vanderbilt went into the other Columbia and beat South Carolina last weekend. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. Again, later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. After that, we'll hear from Blues President of Hockey Operations, Doug Armstrong. He met with the media today. We will have more in just a moment as we roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. For the final half hour of the show, first we're going to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Each week he talks to our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, an exclusive conversation that we get access to because, well, they're our sister station. We're their sister station. And so we'll have that coming up in just a while. Chiefs are 0-2. They got to get things going. And then after that, we'll talk some Blues hockey. Doug Armstrong met with the media earlier today, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. Training camp starts tomorrow. First preseason game coming up on Saturday. It is just about here. Otis sent in a message. I guess it sounded like I was taking a little bit of a shot at Vanderbilt when I was talking about South Carolina because of what I said about Vanderbilt, that was a game that South Carolina should have won. And Otis said, I'm underestimating Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's good. Vanderbilt was unranked going to the number 11 team in the nation. So I think Vanderbilt's good. I really do. I still think South Carolina should have won that game. And to lose a game at home 31-7 when you're ranked number 11 to an unranked team. Vanderbilt's ranked now and they deserve to be ranked. But that was not me taking a shot at Vanderbilt. It was just me saying that was not a good loss for South Carolina when you consider everything that goes along with it. I had to kind of laugh at this text message that came in, and I appreciated the message. But because if you guys saw, and for those of you who watch on the stream, you're able to see some of the messages that come in. But I do think sometimes it's a good reminder for me that whether it's text messages or tweets or whatever else, like everybody is a human being and a unique individual, and everybody's got their own opinion on things. And when I start believing that there is a overwhelming majority opinion, a lot of times I get that wrong. So I got a text message from the 314, and it says, first off, I like the beginning, because the other day I was getting text messages telling me how much of a jerk I am. So I really appreciated the start of the text message that goes with, I think you are very nice and a good guy. Thank you. It's nice to hear that. I was being inundated with messages telling me how horrible of a human being I was just a couple days ago. So I appreciate the nice message. It's nice to get a little lift up every once in a while. Anyways, the texter goes on. Thank you, very nice, good guys. The majority of people just want Mo to leave because he's an arrogant blah, 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 and we can deal with Oliver Marmol. So the point of that was this texter's structural belief is that the Cardinals fan base is mad at Mo and are willing to put up with Marmol. That's true for some. That's not true for the majority. I appreciate that being your point, but as the person who sits here and watch text after text, tweet after tweet, social media comment after social media comment on the stream coming in, I can tell you that Marmol and Mo are spoken about together. That for a large portion of the fan base, as much as they want Mo out, they want Marmol just the same. I would be curious of this. Let's say Heim Bloom takes over. That's not the let's say part. Obviously, that's happening. So Heim takes over. Marmol sticks around, which I think is going to happen. I think Oliver Marmol is going to be the manager next year. I'm excited for that because I want to see what it looks like, if it looks different with Marmol. I think there are some things that frustrate a lot of people that happen under Marmol that get blamed that the blame goes to Marmol, and it's more about the organizational philosophy, which is dictated by other people. So let's go to a hypothetical situation. Maybe this plays out this way. Maybe it doesn't. We'll probably all learn together unless there is a managerial change in the offseason, which I'm not expecting, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen. If all of a sudden things look different, like really different. Let's say the Cardinals are starting to do like the innovative and thinking outside the box stuff that other organizations do. The using openers and doing a lot more in terms of splits and platoons and things like that. Like just they try to get every single edge they can get from every single corner. And that's what the Brewers do. That's what the Brewers do. The Brewers are able to play above their roster because they take advantage of everything else. So let's say, and I don't think the Cardinals are especially good at doing that. I think they were actually better this year than they were previously. The first thing was when they did not bat Mason Wynn leadoff this year. When they went with Newt Barr and eventually Donovan, like that was the right way to go. I didn't think they were going to do that. I was so pleasantly surprised that they didn't. And that seems like such a long time ago now, but that was, that showed kind of an evolution in the way things were going to be thought about. And I think that's going to continue moving forward. So let's say they start doing all these things that really good organizations do to get the most out of your team. At that point, I would be curious to watch what the level of criticism towards Oliver Marmol becomes. And I think in many ways, Marmol has the opportunity to be unleashed under a Heim Bloom-led baseball organization. At the same time, I am willing to be accepting of the idea that maybe Heim and Ollie actually don't work together well. Maybe they go into the year and it just, as they go through that year, becomes, you know what, they're not totally simpatico. And if that's the case, then Heim has the opportunity, whether it's in the middle of the season or more likely at the end of the season, to make that change. But to me, Ollie's a good manager, young, bright, thoughtful. Players like playing for him. I think he is a major asset to the organization, and I would like to see what it looks like with Ollie managing with the next regime fully in charge. I think that's going to happen. It's not a 100% guarantee. We are going to take a break. When we return, we're actually going to hear from Patrick Mahomes. He does a weekly conversation with our sister station in Kansas City. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to take you until 8 o'clock this evening. We continue to remind you about what's coming up tomorrow night on the program. We are going to be live at Hot Shots in Arnold. We'll be there live from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, so Redbird Rush Hour, at least my part of it, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then Sports Open Line from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock for our soccer showcase from City SC. Timo Baumgartel is going to be there. He'll join us on the air for about 6 to 6:30 or so, and then the time after that, he'll be available to sign autographs and take photos and do all that sort of stuff. So look forward to seeing everybody in South County and in Arnold. We're going to be there coming up tomorrow. It is that time of the week where we hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, a weekly conversation that he does exclusively with our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan, and as St. Louis is home for the Chiefs, we get to play it back each week. This is Mahomes' birthday week. Now the Chiefs are 0-2, so maybe there's a... They start slow into the conversation this week before getting into football, as the Chiefs have got to play some better football. Tough schedule to start the year, but they are 0-2. But as the conversation did start between Mahomes and Carrington Harrison, they talked a little bit about, when it comes to Mahomes' birthday each year, is this a time that he uses to kind of reflect back on where he's been and how much his life has changed in really a short amount of time?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm super grateful for this, everything that I've kind of experienced in life. I mean, I've had great people around me in my family and friends, and obviously had a great run here in Kansas City. And so it's been a lot of fun these last 9 years, I guess that would be, until I was 30. But let's make it another 10 to 15 more.
So we were having some bets around the office on how you prefer your steak to get cooked. Some people were saying well done, and I was like, not my guy. Pat's not getting his steak cooked well done. On Sunday, whenever you guys ate, tell me what you ordered.
I got the Wagyu meatballs, and then I ate a little bit of the chicken just as like kind of an appetizer, and then we got some of the ribeye. And so I do get my steak. I get my steak medium. I can do medium. I did medium rare for a long time, but now I'm just a medium guy, and I feel like no matter where you go, you can get a good medium steak.
Okay, that's good to hear. That's how I get mine. I get my medium rare, medium, depending on where I am. So I'm happy to know that you and I are on the same page there. For sides, what do you usually get? Are you a mac and cheese, a mashed potato guy? What are you getting for sides?
It kind of depends. You know, sometimes I will do the mac and cheese and, like, the french fries and stuff like that. But, like, the other night, just kind of chilling with, like, the broccolini and the mashed potatoes and not eating too heavy, knowing that I got a football game coming up.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Today is actually the grand opening for your steakhouse. How excited are you for the public to get an opportunity to go?
I'm super excited. You know, they had the kind of the soft opening this last week, and from everything, I mean, I wasn't really there a lot, but from everything I could tell, it went really well, and people had great feedback as far as their experiences there. And so I'm just excited for Kansas City to have this place that I think a lot of people will love, and I get great food and great community, and get to be together at another place in Kansas City they can call their own.
You've done a lot before your 30th birthday. You have a very successful foundation that has done a lot for kids in the area. You opened up a steakhouse. You've elevated the brand for your university. You've been able to accomplish a lot of things. Do you have things that you want to accomplish in your 30s? What are some of your personal goals?
As far as off the field, I think I just want to be the best dad and the best husband that I can be. Like, it's being able to go home every single day and see those kids and the smiles on their face. I want to continue to just be a great example for them and for the rest of the community as well. And so there's nothing like that I've set out and I'm trying to do this or do that. I just want to do whatever I can to give back to the community that's given me so much and hopefully win a lot of Super Bowls on the field.
I know you don't like talking about yourself, but today is just kind of a day of reflection. I have to tell you some of the things that you have accomplished. You have won 3 Super Bowls. You have been the MVP of all of those Super Bowls. You won the MVP in the NFL multiple times. You've been a 6-time Pro Bowler. You guys have been to 7 AFC championship games. Could you imagine that you would have done all of this prior to the age of 30?
No, probably not. You know, like I focus so much on the day and trying to get better that day. And coming out of college and at Texas Tech, I knew that I'd put up a lot of stats, but I wanted to learn how to win and to win consistently. And I got blessed to come to Kansas City with Coach Reed and all these great players around me, and they taught me how to win. They taught me how to push to be even better every single day, and it helped elevate my game and elevate me to be a better role model, a better leader. And I just try to embrace that, knowing that it doesn't last forever, but it's been a lot of fun, and we'll keep pushing it to get even better every single year.
Last reflective question, at least about your career, and we'll move to the present day. You have 17 playoff wins before you turned 30 years old. Tom Brady had 12 playoff wins by the time he was 30 years old. Have you thought about the pace you were on by when we look at this thing a decade from now, where you could potentially be?
Yeah, but you have to keep up with it. I mean, I think that's what makes Tom so great, is that he continued to do it year in and year out for 20 years. I mean, he kept just being at the top of the game, and that comes with a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And so I try to do that. Even times like right now when it's not going well, I still put in the work, knowing that if you put in the work, usually good things happen. And so it speaks to his greatness that he was able to do it for 20 straight years, a little over 20 years. And so I'll just continue to work extremely hard and get myself the opportunity to go out there and win as many games as possible.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Let's get to this week. Let's look ahead. You guys are 0-2. What is the sense of urgency that you feel heading into Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a high sense of urgency. You know, going up against his team, I mean, this is a team that has played two good football games as well, and they've kind of been similar to us where they've kind of come up short just a little bit, but they have a lot of great football players, and this will be their home opener, so it'll be a great environment playing at the Giants Stadium at MetLife, and they'll be hungry too. So it's going to be two teams that are very hungry that are trying to get that win on the board to get their seasons back on track, and so it's a high sense of urgency knowing we got to play our best football, play better than we played these first 2 weeks.
It feels crazy to use this term in September, but do you consider Sunday Night Football to be must-win for you guys?
I've never, until it's like playoffs or it's like you win and go home, I never say must win, but I mean, it's an important football game, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's being 0-2 is one thing, but being 0-3, I mean, it's tough to come back and make the playoffs and get to where you want to be at. And so we feel this sense of urgency here and knowing that we got to play better as a full team. I mean, I feel like the first game offensively we played pretty good, second game we played bad, and it kind of flipped on the defensive side of the football. And so for us, we got to come together as a team. You know, we got to continue to put in the work to come together as a team on game day and play our best football on game day to get a win and get our season back on track.
This is along that same vein, but I'm sure you've heard the stat by now, and it is a stat that is going to be drilled into you guys' head over the next couple of days. Since expanding the playoffs, there have been 41 teams that have started 0-2. Only 5 of those teams have made the postseason. You guys obviously have championship DNA. Nobody is counting you guys out, but how do you guys dig yourself out of the hole that you guys have created these first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think you just got to focus on the now and what we can do. And today, that's having the best practice that we can have and preparing ourselves for this game that we're playing this weekend. And everything's still in front of us. You know, we know that we haven't played our best football these first 2 weeks, but if we play the way that we think we can play, we can win a lot of football games. And so come to work every single day and kind of just get after it and continue to get better and better and try to go out there and stack some wins as the season goes along. And by the end of the season, give yourself a chance to be in the playoffs and go out there and win those games as well.
One stat has jumped out to me. You actually lead quarterback in rushing yards. You have 123 so far this season. No other quarterback in the league has 100 yards rushing. Are you running more out of necessity this year? Are you seeing more in the defense? What has led to you taking off more this season?
Yeah, I think just kind of the flow of the game. When defenses are playing some of the man coverages, they're really focusing on stopping guys down the field. And so when they do that, if they get out of the rush lane, just kind of opened up for me to be able to run. But that's something that I've always had. I obviously just used it a little bit more these last 2 weeks. But I'm going to do whatever it takes to win at the end of the day. And I don't call myself necessarily a running quarterback, but I can do enough to move the chains. And so I'm just excited for us to continue to evolve as an offense and get even better.
Obviously, this is something that you have to be mindful of. How are you going to try to manage those hits on your body, the potential extra wear and tear for a long football season?
I always prepare my body for it, you know. I mean, there's obviously I try not to take the big hits and get down when I can in space and stuff like that. But if you're getting hit in the pocket or out of the pocket, you're taking hits throughout a season, so you have to prepare your body for that. And so that's stuff I do all off season and do during the season as well, just to prepare my body for a tough NFL season, just like everybody else.
We've talked about you being the villain in certain aspects. You mentioned the home opener for the Giants or going on the road in Sunday Night Football. Everything is kind of against you in that. What is it like to go into those environments looking to leave with the W?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. Don't get me wrong, but it's always a great opportunity to go in there and kind of build that memory with your teammates of being having to come together and win these big games and these big moments on Sunday Night Football and stuff like that. And so I think that's stuff that can help build character for a team throughout the entire season, knowing that you're not always going to get to play at Arrowhead and get to have that home crowd behind you. You have to learn how to come together as a team, and makes you closer as a team as the season goes on.
I'll get you out of here with these last handful of questions. You obviously are very familiar with New York. Your dad played for the New York Mets. What memory do you have of New York as a kid?
I think my best memory is the Subway Series. I mean, I think that was always something that was really cool. And then being able to go and see the Statue of Liberty as a kid was something that stuck in my brain. And so I had a lot of great memories there. My dad was playing great baseball and playing in National League Championship Series versus the Braves and Subway Series versus the Yankees. And so it was a lot of fun times. And I was about 5, 6, 7 years old. And so that was like right when I could really start remembering stuff.
During the Kingdom, they showed these highlights of you hitting home runs as a kid. When was the last time that you saw those clips? I had never seen that video before.
I hadn't seen him in a long time, and for me, I just heard the stories, you know, like with your dad or your grandpa or whoever, they always tell you stories, and half the time you're like, I don't know if I really believe what they're saying. But my dad had always told me that exact story. And so to see it on the home video that my mom found, I don't know where she found it at. It was cool because it just showed that all those stories my dad was telling me about me as a kid and his time in New York were all true.
I mean, you should have known right then and there that you were going to be really athletic, because I'm sitting there watching like, I don't know if you're supposed to be this age being able to hit that far.
I always thought I was a baseball player, man. I grew up in it, and I learned so much of it. But looking back now, it was really cool.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for Sunday Night Football. Pat, again, happy birthday, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That was Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We, of course, are your home for Chiefs football in St. Louis. We'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we'll talk some Blues hockey training camp. It is set to open up tomorrow. Blues president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong addressed the media today. We'll hear some of what he had to say. We'll do that coming up in just a moment as we continue on after this right here. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. We are starting to wrap things up. We get done at 8 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, a big day. Training camp officially opening up for the St. Louis Blues. Their president of hockey operations and general manager Doug Armstrong did meet with the media earlier today and wanted to play back some of what he had to say. So his role is changing at the end of this year as he is giving up the GM portion of his title, and then we're going to see him not be in that role anymore. So he's going into his final GM year with the Blues. But he said that as this year gets started, he's not really spending much time thinking about that.
I haven't spent a lot of time on that, really. Excited about the year. One of the things that we want to make sure we focus on is this year. Alex and I worked together hand in hand last year. I don't see anything being different this year. And it is a little strange, though, knowing that there is an expiration date, but that doesn't affect this year's team, and they expect us to do our best, and we're going to do that.
Obviously, last year went pretty well, especially after the coaching change and after Jim Montgomery's impact on this team and the way that they play really started to be felt. He was asked about, taking momentum, because the season ended well last year. They were oh so close, just terribly close to getting into the second round of the playoffs. So can you take momentum from last year and bring it into this year?
It's great that Monty's going to have a full year, a full training camp to get us ready. I think one of the things you want to be careful against is when you finish as strong as you did, that you think that that's going to be a natural carryover. One of the things you understand over time is that, like, Mayhew doesn't care how we played, Suter doesn't care how we played, Buchta doesn't care how well we played at the end. So we have to build our own team again. We have to start with that foundation. Now there's a lot of things that the players can remember and learn from last year, but to think they can just replicate it by showing up, hockey doesn't work that way. The NHL doesn't work that way. And just the understanding of, when I look at the Central Division, how strong that is right now, we have to be ready to go, the start of the season. And it's going to be a battle every night. And one of the things that, when you're coming from behind, you can sneak up on teams. This year, hopefully that we prove to some teams that we're a capable opponent, and we'll get their best game and they'll get ours, and we'll see how we fit.
With as well as the team played last year after the coaching change and getting some playoff experience and all that, and then adding to the roster a little bit here during the offseason, Armstrong really likes the potential of this club.
They showed when they played determined, selfless hockey, as Monty would say, that they're competitive. I think we have a good mix right now of veteran players like Shen and Parenko and Falk and Bukestad and older players that are at that point now. And then we have just a really couple guys in that mid-age. It's Thomas and Kyrou, and then a lot of younger guys that are 24, 25. So there's balance. There should be competition for ice time. There should be competition, to make the team. And then after you make the team, where you fit in on what special teams, where you fit in the lineup. So I think they relished that competition last year. I think they understand that collectively we're better than we are as any individuals, and they can learn from that and hopefully present some of that this year, but again, it has to start basically from scratch.
I think generally most people think that this Blues team has a chance of being really good this year. I don't know if we're talking about Stanley Cup good, but being more than just sneaking into the playoffs, a team that can certainly make a bit of a playoff run. And that would mean they had a better year this year than they did last year, even though they finished off so strong last season. And Armstrong talked a little bit about whether it's just Jim Montgomery being in for the full year with training camp, the changes that they did make to the roster, young guys continuing to get better, what it is going to take, and what's the possibility of them being better this year than last year.
I think we're a little deeper. I also think that we do have some positive experiences to go off of, but I think bringing in two centermen doesn't put too much undue pressure on young players that are 20, 21 years old. I think, quite honestly, a lot changed, and I think we discussed this a little bit last year at the end with bringing in Broberg and Holloway expedited this process. And then bringing Fowler in, we don't have to put the three first-rounders from 2 years ago into our lineup right now. If we didn't have those players, we probably would and just sort of learn on the go. But the players showed enough last year for us to acquire veteran players, get back to the maturation that we've had in the past of letting players come at their own pace, come at their own time. And so I think experience players helps us. I think, you know, having youth being served to some extent, but making it earned, I think is better for us long term than making them earn it than give it to them.
And then final thing from Doug Armstrong, I thought this was also pretty interesting. I think Corey Miller from Channel 5 asked this question. It was a good question. It wasn't that long ago that they were selling players off at the deadline, and it felt like they were going kind of into a, I don't want to say long haul rebuild, but it didn't seem like it was going to be a super quick process. And I guess it hasn't been super quick, but it's moved along a little bit faster than a lot of people thought it would move along. And a lot of that has to do with how much they got better last year. So the question was asked, are they ahead of schedule from where they thought they were going to be if you circle back to when they were trading players at the deadline?
I don't think you sort of have a schedule that you go by. It was difficult. We moved on from some great Blues players that brought us a lot of success, but contracts were expiring, and we made decisions. We've tried to stay competitive as we're doing this, and it's some teams go a different approach where they'll go working for a first overall pick maybe for a few years and hoping that that player turns out to be a superstar and they can build around that. That wasn't the way we wanted to go, partly because I just thought with Thomas and Kyrou and Binnington, there was enough players. I don't think we could ever really get to the bottom comfortably. And so we went a different direction. And again, I credit our pro staff and our amateur staff of finding players that we can be in here. You know, I think when we talked last year, I thought we might surprise some teams. We might be a little bit better. My expectations would be a little bit greater this year that I like where we finished. I like where we're headed. With the caveat, though, that the Central Division's better than it was last year at this time, and the league is probably better just because of the increase in cap space. There wasn't teams that were fighting at the top that had to disperse their players because of cap issues. It's a little bit more normal to where it was pre-pandemic that, you know, a bad contract is usually absorbed within a year or two by the cap going up.
That's Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations and general manager. And that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Again, a reminder, tomorrow we are going to be at Hot Shots in Arnold. Love for you to stop on by. Timo Baumgartel from City SC will be there from, I believe he's there till 8 o'clock. So 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock is when he's there. He'll be on the radio with us from about 6 to 6:30. And then after that, he'll get the opportunity to meet you, take photos, sign autographs, do all those sort of things. We'll be broadcasting live that entire time. We'll start the live broadcast at 5 o'clock for my part of Redbird Rush Hour, and then we'll do all the city stuff during the 6 o'clock hour, kind of more standard Sports Open Line during the 7 o'clock hour, but we are looking forward to being with you coming up tomorrow. Thanks to all my guests. This was a really fun show tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow from Hot Shots in Arnold
for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.